Today's topic on OpenVOIP is ham radio.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system. You are the only party in this conference. To join the conversation, please dial 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269. Open VoIP 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 929-299-1269.
One other party is in this conference.
This is Publius calling in to a non-radio open VOIP. Calling in specifically to discuss the novel that I'm reading on Twitch right now, The Castle of Otranto, 1764, Horace Walpole. Definitely the oldest thing that I've read for the show. A gothic horror novel, which, frankly, I can't help laughing. Anybody who wants to discuss this, I'm here.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Hello?
Hey, Publius, this is Pizza Pal.
How are you doing, Pizza Pal?
I'm pretty good, yeah. Excited to listen to the Castle of Otranto.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read it. Read a lot
there
of it.
There are three other parties in this conference.
Hello there.
Hello, this is Jazzmaz.
Hi there, Jazzmaz. So yes, Pizza Pal was saying he's interested by this, that he's never read The Castle of Otranto. I don't blame him for not having read it. You know, unless you have a particular interest in gothic horror stories, I can't see why anyone would. As I say, I heard about it at some point and said, okay, I've got to read this. This sounds so bizarre. And, you know, as I say, I just can't stop myself from laughing.
It's very important, like, history of, like, literature and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually influential, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't read that novel either, but the title was known to me, along with, you know, other gothic horror novels from around that time. But I don't know that I've ever sought it out.
Yeah, as I say, I read a mention of it somewhere that said something about giant body parts, and I was completely baffled by this. So when I came across a copy in a book sale one time, I said, okay, I've got to read this just to find out what the world this is.
Yeah, it's like, what is it, the sun is crushed by a giant helmet or something
that? Yeah, the very first thing in the novel, you know, the 15-year-old boy is crushed by a giant helmet that falls from the sky or something. Appears out of nowhere. No one sees what happens. You know, he's just crushed by it. It's like, what?
It's kind of surreal. It's Pamela too. Like that's like that was like the novel in English was like all the early novels are bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the Hamlet interpretation that he's just crazy and everybody's setting him up for a fall kind of situation. That the ghosts aren't real, they're all, it's just something he's focused on. Mm. But, certain players play along to advance their agendas. I know it seems kind of the Castle of Otranto seems very strange. Not totally typical of what you think of in some respects for the Gothic horror novel.
Hmm.
It was, I mean, it's from, like, the mid-18th century, it was kind of like, is that right?
1764.
Yeah, I mean, so is that, like, the Georgian period, or is that?
Yeah.
Was that before George the Third?
Yeah, that was about George the Second, I think.
Okay. I guess Georgian, like, one of the Georges. But, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of different. I mean, the Georgian period is kind of like the opposite of, like, the Victorian period, like, in a lot of ways, you know? Like, they were, like, the Victorian, like, they were very, like, you know, kind of, like, prude and stuff. Like, the Georgians are, like, sort of like the opposite of that, kind of, I think.
Yeah, but then the Victorian literature is very sentimental, and the Georgian literature, to a great extent, is sort of rigid and formalistic and rationalistic. I mean, I always think of Alexander Pope, long philosophical poems. Know first thyself, presume not God to scan, the proper study of mankind is man.
I mean, it's interesting, though. It's not... I mean, I've read, like, some, like, 18th century English literature. I mean, probably, you know, everybody, but yeah, I mean, Alexander Pope, I don't know, I do, like, a lot of, like, research, like, when I went to college about, because I study art history, so I study a lot about, like, landscape painting, like, mm-hmm. like, Gainsborough and, like...
Certainly flourished during that period.
And Constable and stuff. Like, you know, so during that period and stuff. So, like, I mean, a lot of the people that, like, you know, were, like, sort of the romantic, you know, period, creative people, artists or whatever, like, they were influenced by a lot of, like, 18th century literature, too,
mm-hmm.
Which, even though it is, like, very, it's kind of very alien, really, like, compared to, you know, like, Shakespeare, like, you know, earlier stuff, or, like, later stuff, like, you know, like, Victorian literature, like you say, more sentimental, like, the rigidity and of like 18th century, you know, like sort of like neoclassicism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know some people refer to the period as Augustan, specifically because of the neoclassical elements.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, and then you have this novel in which, you know, big pieces of armor fall out of the sky and crush people, which sounds like some kind of 1950s monster movie.
Yeah.
Of course, my dad was watching The Fiend Without a Face yesterday. There's Sven Gulli, one of these horror movie hosts, anyway, comes on one of the broadcast channels here, and Dad was watching The Fiend Without a Face, which involves, you know, psychic materialization in the form of animate brain stems, which makes no kind of sense whatsoever. And at one point, there's everybody's talking about this atomic power plant that's somehow responsible for all the trouble. And at one point, you know, they're going to shut it down, but they can't because the control rods are all broken and the nearest supply of spares is at Hanford. And it's like, okay, so I guess the people who made this movie thought that control rods were something that you just had a stock of somewhere and you'd put them into your reactor if you wanted to stop it working. I don't know.
929,
not any form of nuclear engineering I'm familiar or comfortable with, that's for sure.
Van Gogh is a big, he's a Chicago guy, I think.
Yep, yep. The actor Rich Coase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he started out as Son of Svengoolie when I was a kid, mm-hmm. doing the horror film host.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, has more recently returned to that role. And then, of course, you had, I can't think of his name before that. Gene Bishop, is that, mm. is that who I'm thinking of? Who is the original Svengoolie?
Mm. I will say that at a science fiction convention in Oklahoma City one time, I had set up, is it Oklahoma City or Tulsa? Now that I'm thinking, it may have been Tulsa. I had set up a Luna Project display, and the guy with the display across from me was Zachary, if you remember Zachary, one of the original horror movie hosts.
I'm trying to think about that.
Somewhere I found an image online of a bumper sticker saying Zachary for president. But, anyway.
Yeah, I caught some of that yesterday night as well on the broadcast, waiting for it to flip over to the Star Trek rerun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's strange. Oh, and back on the nuclear reactor sort of topic, I liked your video footage that you've inserted into your title card test mm-hmm. pattern. Specifically, I caught the tail end of the first one leading into your Hear Now the Words
mm-hmm.
Twitch cast, which had the animated illustration, however you want to term it, of the reactor
mm-hmm.
in operation. It's like, oh yeah, I haven't played Scram for the Atari in a while. It's sort of what it reminds me of.
Mm-hmm. I think from looking at that animation, I think it was based on the experimental power reactor at Call. Which I think is in Nordrhein-Westfalen, anyway, which is interesting because it was built as a closed-cycle boiling water reactor.
Hmm.
You know, usually there's two types of water-cooled power reactors. There's the one in which the water is kept liquid during the whole cycle, and then it passes into a heat exchanger and produces steam on the far side of the heat exchanger.
Right.
And then there's the one in which the water is allowed to boil in the reactor and then runs through the turbine and condenses
right.
and right straight back to the reactor. But at Call, for some reason connected with the fact that they were doing experiments with it, they constructed a closed-cycle boiling water reactor in which the water is allowed to boil in the reactor, then it comes out and then goes through a steam transformer to boil water in a secondary circuit during which it's condensed and returned back to the reactor.
This is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of the worst of both worlds in a
yeah.
way. Because the whole advantage of the boiling water reactor is that it's simpler. You don't have the heat exchangers.
Right.
But you pay for that in the fact
it's corrosive.
That the vessel is bigger.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have to adjust the water chemistry. The water chemistry is a real compromise. In the PWR, you can have the chemistry on the turbine side adjusted for the turbine and the chemistry on the nuclear side adjusted for that. And then in the BWR, you sort of have to compromise.
Right.
But anyway, but yeah, I've got all four of the videos that I've had transferred from film so far are between 3 and 4 minutes, and I've got them up on my Tubenix account. I've got a number of additional reels, which are considerably longer, 15 to 30 minutes, I think, mostly, which I'm going to have transferred as I get the money. Probably starting with the one about thermonuclear fracking. Because it's like, you know, you want to make people's eyes bug out. That's a great one.
Right. Nuclear and fracking in one term.
Yeah, it's just like, for those of you who really hate hydrofracking, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
But in fact, I had somebody on Mastodon who said he would pay the cost of having that transferred. I'm gonna hit him up and say, how much are you willing to pay? Because I estimate it'll cost about $180.
Ah.
So how much do you want to chip in?
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
Cool. And your account channel on the SDF Tubenics system is Man and
Tubenics,
Adam?
Yeah, there's I've got two channels, but the one where the videos are that I'm speaking of is the Man and Adam channel. And, of course, they say, you know, author Publius, and you can click through to see my other channel as well.
Sure.
Which has got the other channels where I've been putting the beverage dedication clips from these broadcasts.
But, if you're interested in what Publius is sampling on behest of his patrons, you can see them there as well.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do one immediately after Open VOIP here. Which will be another couple of minutes in which people will get to admire the lovely films that I've had transferred on my standby screen, because I've got to go actually wash the glass. But this is the ice cream soda glass, which has got a uranium glass foot. It's not, however, full uranium glass the way the other one I was drinking the float out of was. Yeah, I find it hilarious that that there's this editor's note explaining that they cut a couple of significant chunks out of the Romance of the Forest, which, as it is more than half of the thickness of this book, you know, the volume, which has got these three novels in it. The Romance of the Forest is more than half of the whole book, and yet that's with two big chunks cut out. But, yeah, it's got this, miserable poetry in it. for example, there's one marked as sonnet, which has got a footnote to it saying, "It need scarcely be noted that Mrs. Radcliffe's sonnets are not technically sonnets at all." Because we've got here 5 stanzas of 4 lines each A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, let's see, G, H, G, H, and then I, B, I, B. What a weird rhyme scheme. Anyway, in any case, it's not a sonnet in the sense that we're accustomed to. Neither the Italian nor the English form, either of which requires a final couplet.
Right.
You know, it's... I met a traveler from an antique land who said, 2 vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert, near them on the sand. Anyway, I once paraphrased that with, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, no shit, there I was. to which Karen Anderson, widow of the late Poole Anderson, and now I'm afraid to say passed away herself, this was on Facebook. Anyway, one of the reasons I was on Facebook was just to keep in touch with her. Anyway, she remarked, yeah, somewhere I've got the photo that Poole took of me standing at the foot of that statue. Because it's based on a colossus of Ramses the Great.
Right.
And they had visited there during a trip to Egypt in the 50s. Possibly before the deposition of King Farouk, the world's wealthiest pickpocket. Farouk was apparently something of a kleptomaniac. He would just nick anything. that was bizarre. Anyway, looks like we're about to drop off Open VOIP. So as I say, I'm going to put the stream on the standby screen for anybody who wants to watch the interesting
film. Sam, could you hold this moment to open
both?
Now you can be the DJ with SDF open mic. Get on the mic. Get on the mic. Yo, 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 check it. Get on that mic. You are the DJ.
We'll switch back over.
See you then.